From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, editor of the theatrical yearbook Best Plays and drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Camille, starring Eva LeGallion with Richard Waring. Mr. Chapman.
This evening, we are offering you the classic among romantic dramas, Camille, by Alexandre Dumas the Younger. This was Dumas' first and best play, and since 1852, the role of Marguerite Gautier, the Lady of the Camellias, has been the high aim of most creative actresses. In time, it became virtually the property of Sarah Bernhardt in Paris. In our own time, here in New York, the play has found its finest interpreter in Eva LeGallion. She is in love with the drama and the part. We are fortunate in having Miss LeGallion and Camille on Best Plays this evening, and fortunate, too, in having with her in the role of Armand Duval, Richard Waring. Mr. Waring is no stranger to the play, or to Miss LeGallion either, for it was she who developed him as an actor at her Civic Repertory Theater. So, now, let's haul up our invisible curtain on Act One of Camille.
Her name was Marguerite Gautier, but all Paris knew her as the Lady of the Camellias. For many years, I was her friend, but only a friend. Perhaps the very uninsistence of our friendship was what sustained it. My name, by the way, is Gaston Rieux, and it was I who first introduced Armand Duval to the Lady of the Camellias. Armand and I were attending a performance at the Opéra Comique. There, alone in another box across the theater, dressed all in white, sat Marguerite Gautier. She turned her opera glasses in my direction and smiled.
Gaston, that lovely creature in white, that must be...
Yes, Marguerite Gautier. I'm surprised to see her here tonight. She's been very ill, you know.
Yes, I know. How beautiful she is.
Gaston, dear boy.
Prudence, come sit down. Join us.
Oh, for a moment only. I saw you bowing to Marguerite Gautier just now.
She's looking very pale tonight.
Oh, poor child. This is her first public appearance in weeks.
Prudence, may I present my friend Armand Duval, Madame Duvalois.
Your servant, madame.
Enchanted, monsieur. Well, sit down, both of you.
Thank you, madame. Armand.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
you must excuse my friend Prudence. I'm afraid he's been suddenly smitten by the sight of Marguerite.
That's a sickness he'll have to share with half the men in Paris.
Madame, both you and Gaston know this exquisite creature, this Marguerite Gautier.
Matter of fact, dear boy, Marguerite Gautier is my neighbor. What's more, I'm her milliner.
Then you see her often?
Every day. I live in number 7, Rue d'Antin. Marguerite's windows are just opposite mine. We shout messages back and forth. Prudence, she calls. I don't want violets on my hat. Marguerite, I call back. Could I borrow 100 francs? Back and forth. Oh, we're great friends.
She's the most beautiful woman in all Paris.
Well, shall I take you over to her box and introduce you?
No, Gaston. I would prefer a meeting in a less public place.
Oh, but that's difficult. Marguerite is under the protection of an exceedingly jealous man, a duke, no less.
Charming word, protection.
Yes, protection. Poor old man. He'd be embarrassed to offer her anything more.
Why is she alone tonight?
Oh, opera bores the duke, but he'll be waiting for her to escort her home.
And who is escorting you home?
Why, you, of course, Gaston. The pair of you. Look here, my friends, through this window.
What is it, Provence?
Across my little garden. There are Marguerite Gautier's windows, where you see the lights.
I see someone's shadow moving about.
Yes, Monsieur Armand. That will be Nanine, her maid.
She must be giving a supper party after the opera.
No, that's the Baron de Valville playing Chopin. He's very rich, but Marguerite can't stand him. He sits there every night playing Chopin waltzes.
Janine!
Where is Marguerite?
I told you, monsieur, she went to the opera.
The opera was over an hour ago. You told her I'd be waiting?
I did, monsieur.
My affairs are not progressing very favorably here.
Decidedly not, monsieur.
It's odd of Marguerite to sacrifice everybody to the Duc de Mauriac, who certainly can't be too amusing.
Oh, poor old man, he's like her father.
Her father?
Well, 2 years ago, Madame went to a watering place to regain her strength. And in the same sanitarium, there was a young girl suffering from the same illness, only in the last degrees of it. And so like Madame, they might have been twin sisters. She was Mademoiselle de Mauriac, only daughter of the Duke. Mademoiselle de Mauriac died, and her father begged Marguerite to allow him to love her as his daughter.
How touching. Unfortunately, I don't believe a word of it.
Monsieur, there are many true things to be said about Madame, and that's all the more reason for not inventing untrue ones.
Nanine! Oh, Nanine, order supper, will you? Olympe and some friends of hers are coming. I met them at the opera.
Marguerite.
Oh, Verville, you're here, are you?
Is it not my destiny always to wait for you?
Must it be mine always to find you waiting?
Until you close your door against me.
Well, now what have you to say to me?
Oh, you know very well.
Always the same thing. You're so monotonous.
Is it my fault that I adore you?
Oh, my dear man, if I were forced to listen to all those who say they adore me, I wouldn't have a moment's peace. For the 100th time I repeat it, you are wasting your time. I allow you to come here to see me when I'm home, to wait for me when I'm out. I really don't know why. However, if you must constantly harp upon your love, I shall simply refuse to see you.
Still, Marguerite, last year at Bagnères, you gave me some hope.
My dear fellow, that was Bagnères. I was ill. I was bored. Here it's entirely different. I'm much better. I'm not in the least bored.
I understand. When one is loved by the Duc de Mauriac...
Imbecile. I'm free to love whom I please. It's nobody's business, yours least of all. That's all you have to say to me? You'd better go. Well... Are you going?
No, please.
Well, then sit down at the piano and play something. Playing's your only virtue.
Oh, very well. What shall I play?
Oh, anything you like.
The supper is ordered, madame.
Oh, thank you, Nanine. Take my cloak, will you?
Oh, madame. It's crushed the beautiful corsage of Camellia.
Ah, poor things. Drooping in one short evening. Well, they're not quite dead. Not yet. Ah. What's that you're playing, Varville? It's very pretty.
Remember, Marguerite, my income is 80,000 francs.
Well, mine's 100,000. What's that perfume in the room?
But the flowers, madame.
I brought them.
Roses and lilacs. Put them in your room, Nanine.
Yes, madame. Right away.
You reject even my flowers.
Verville, what is my name?
Marguerite.
No, Gautier. No. I mean, what am I called?
The Lady of the Camellias.
And why?
Because you never wear any other flowers.
Because they're the only flowers I like. It's quite useless to send me any others. If you think I'm going to make an exception for you, you're wrong. Perfumes make me ill.
I have no luck at all.
Only with your music. Go on playing. Go on playing.
At once. At once.
Oh, Nanine, where's Prudence?
I've not seen her, madame.
I'll call her and tell her to come over.
And who, may I ask, is Prudence?
Well, she's my milliner, but I'm the only one who buys her hats. Ah, yes, there are lights. Prudence is home. Prudence!
Madame, do not breathe the night air too deep.
Prudence! Prudence!
Here I am.
Come over at once. We're having supper.
Who's there?
Oh, only Varville boring me to death.
Oh, but I have guests, too. Two young gentlemen. They've asked me out to supper.
Well, bring them over here. It comes to the same thing. Who are they?
Oh, you know one of them. Gaston Rieu.
Gaston, of course I know. Who's the other?
Friend of his.
Well, bring them both over. Quickly, quickly.
Marguerite, may I present my friend Armand Duval?
Monsieur Duval?
Madame.
Ah, how stupid of me. I've dropped my flowers.
Your lovely camellias.
Allow me.
Oh, do be quiet, Verville.
But you're always telling me to play.
When I'm alone with you, yes. When there are other people, no.
Au revoir, Marguerite.
When shall I be seeing you?
Whenever you wish.
Adieu, then.
Gentlemen, au revoir, Madame Prudence.
Au revoir, Verville. Au revoir, old dear.
Oh, thank heavens he's gone.
My dear child, you're really too hard
on him.
Well,
he's such a bore, always coming around asking me to accept an income.
You complain of that? I wish he'd offer me one.
Supper is served, madame.
Well, thank you, Nanny.
Oysters from the Maison d'Or, cold partridges, champagne.
Look at all that food. What are those little animals?
Those are partridges.
Oh, then two of them for me.
Your camellias, madame.
Oh, thank you, Monsieur Duval.
Champagne, yes,
they tell me that when I was ill, you came came every day to inquire after me.
That is true, madame.
Oh, the least I can do is to thank you.
Marguerite! Armand!
Oh, let's have some champagne, Monsieur Duval. You must drink to my health.
I will indeed.
Supper. Where were you?
I met some friends at the opera. They made me stop at the gaming table.
Did you win?
I lost my money and my friends.
No
more wine for Gaston till he's played us some music. I feel like dancing.
I only know one polka.
Well, let's have the polka then. Monsieur Duval, will you dance with me?
I would be honored, madame.
Kind of you to inquire after me when I was ill.
Will you allow me to see you from time to time?
As often as you like. You may call any day between 5 and 6 and any night from 11 to 12. Oh, forgive me.
You are ill, madame.
That's nothing. I can't get my breath.
You're so pale.
I feel faint.
Marguerite, what is it?
What's the matter?
Nothing. I've been laughing too much this evening. If you'll excuse me.
The poor child.
Shouldn't the doctor be called?
Oh, this happens every other day. Just leave her alone for a bit in her room.
But it does spoil the party, doesn't it?
Oh, Lan.
Well, it does. Do we have to go now?
No, she'll feel better soon.
She shouldn't be left alone. Isn't there anything to be done?
No, monsieur. There is nothing to be done.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Monsieur Armand. Do come in.
How do you feel, madame?
Oh, thank you. I feel much better. Anyway, I'm used to it.
I wish I were your friend or relative, so I could keep you from destroying yourself.
You wouldn't succeed. What is it? There are tears in your eyes.
Yes.
You're very kind. Just look at the others. They don't bother much.
The others don't love you as I do.
Ah, of course. I'd forgotten about this great love.
It only amuses you.
God forbid I hear nothing else from morning to night no longer amuses me.
As you wish. But my love is worth at least one promise from you.
What promise?
That you'll take care of yourself.
Take care of myself? Is that possible?
Why not?
Oh, my dear boy, if I were to take care of myself, I should die. What keeps me going is the feverish life I lead. Take care of myself. It's only ladies of fashion with families and friends who can afford the luxury of taking care of themselves. We others must go on. As soon as we stop serving the pleasure and vanity of men, we are abandoned, and long evenings follow long days. How well I know it. I was ill in bed for 3 long months. At the end of 3 weeks, not a soul came to see me.
I know that I mean nothing to you, Marguerite, but if you would let me, I would take care of you.
That wine has made you sad.
Have you no heart?
A heart! That's the one thing that could wreck a life like mine. So you'd actually take care of me?
Yes.
Stay with me day in and day out?
As long as I didn't bore you.
And what do you call that?
Devotion.
Devotion. And why this devotion?
I am irresistibly drawn to you, Marguerite. Ever since 2 years ago, when I first saw you in your carriage, beautiful, proud, smiling, since that day I followed you silently, but from afar.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
I didn't know you.
Yes, but when I was ill and you came every day to inquire about me, why didn't you ask to see me?
What right had I to intrude upon you?
Right? Does one stand on ceremony with a woman like me?
Also, I feared the influence you might have upon my life.
Really looks as if you were in love with me.
If I'm ever to tell you, this is not the moment.
Never tell it me.
Why?
Because only 2 things can come of it. Either I won't believe you, in which case you'd hold it against me, or I will believe you.
And then you'd have the saddest of lives, the companionship of a sick, nervous woman, gay with a gaiety more sad than sorrow, a woman who spends 100,000 francs a year. Oh, you've a good heart. You need to be loved. You're too young, too sensitive to live in our sort of world. Love some other kind of woman, or get married. Get married. There, now, you see, I'm a decent sort. I'm trying to be quite frank with you. Huh? It's all settled. You don't love me anymore.
I'll take your advice. I'll go away.
As bad as that?
Yes.
Well, many people have said that, but they haven't gone.
Because you held them back.
Oh, no.
Then you... You've never loved anyone?
Never, thank God.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What for?
For what you've just said. Nothing could have made me happier.
Oh, what a child you are.
Suppose I told you I spent entire nights beneath your windows, that for 6 months I kept a button fallen from your glove.
I wouldn't believe you. Oh, now, don't be angry. Come now, and in all you've just said to me is the one, but one tiny bit of truth.
You ask me that.
Then give me a hand. Come and see me now and then, often if you like.
Marguerite, do you wish to be loved?
Do I wish to be loved? Well, that depends. By whom?
By me.
By you. And then what?
Do you wish to be loved deeply? Eternally?
Eternally. Ah, Monsieur Armand, I've a shorter time to live than others, so I must live more rapidly. But don't worry. As eternal as your love may be, and as short a time as I may have to live, I shall still outlive your love for me.
No, Marguerite, no.
Ah, but you're sincere. You mean what you say. All that deserves something. Take this flower.
One of your camellias.
You may bring it back to me.
When?
When it's faded.
And how long will that take?
The time it takes all flowers to fade. The span of a day or a night.
Marguerite, I'm so happy.
Tell me again that you love me.
I do love you.
And now, go.
In the days which followed, the old Duc de Mauriac heard no whisper of gossip. Then, suddenly, Armand and Marguerite disappeared from Paris, and even Marguerite's old protector became aware of the existence of her ardent young admirer. The two lovers had fled, with their dreams, to spend an idyllic summer near Fontainebleau, in a charming little villa of two stories with a garden and a tiny pavilion.
Where is Marguerite, Nanine?
Madame is in the garden with Mademoiselle Nichette. She's spending the day with us here.
Oh, I'll join them. Oh, good afternoon, Armand.
Prudence, I want to speak to you. 2 weeks ago, you left here in Marguerite's carriage.
That's true.
Well, since then, we've seen neither the carriage nor the horses.
Do you wish me to be frank?
I beg you to be.
The dealer has taken the horses back at half price.
And that cashmere shawl?
Sold.
And the diamonds?
Pawned this morning. I have the pawn tickets here.
And why was I not told?
Marguerite wouldn't hear of it.
And why these sales and this pawning?
To pay for things. My poor dear boy, do you think that in order to leave Paris and live an ethereal and pastoral existence, it's only necessary to love? I went to see the Duke, but he refuses to give Marguerite another penny unless she leaves you. And God knows that's the last thing she wants to do.
Dear Marguerite.
Yes, dear Marguerite. She's too good. Heaven knows how this will end. Now she wants to sell everything she possesses. I have a plan here in my pocket from her lawyer.
How much is needed?
50,000 francs at least.
Prudence.
Yes?
I guessed what was happening, so I wrote to my lawyer that I wish to sign over my inheritance from my mother to a friend. I've just received his answer. The papers are ready. I'll go up to Paris today and sign them. Meanwhile, you keep Marguerite
from... But what about these papers I have here?
Give them to her after I've gone, as if I told you nothing. She mustn't know of our conversation. Here she comes.
Marguerite!
How are you, Nichette?
Oh, well, thank you, Prudence.
Marguerite, my dearest, you must scold Prudence.
Why, my darling?
I asked her to go to my house and fetch my mail. I haven't been to town for 2 weeks, and of course she's forgotten all about it.
Oh.
Now I'll have to go myself. I haven't written to my father for 2 months, and no one knows where I am, not even my servant. Look, It's a beautiful day, and you have company. I'll run into town and be back with you tomorrow.
Well, if you must go, my darling, you must. But if you haven't written your father, don't you blame me. How often have I told you to write to him? I'll come back as quickly as you can. Hmm? You'll find me here waiting.
I'll be back in the morning.
Bye, my darling. Prudence, is everything arranged?
Yes.
You brought the papers?
Here they are. Your lawyer will be here shortly to settle everything. Now, I'm going to eat. I'm simply starved.
Run along. Nanine will give you everything you want. Oh, you see, Nichette, this is how we've been living for the past 3 months.
Are you happy?
Oh, am I happy.
Oh, what did I always tell you, Marguerite? How often have Gustave and I said to each other, when will Marguerite fall in love and lead a quiet life?
Well, I am in love and I'm happy. And it was your love and your happiness that it made me long to have the same. Tell me, when are you going to be married?
Oh, soon. And how about you, Marguerite?
Whom do you want me to marry?
Armand, of course.
Oh, no. I'm willing to take his heart, but not his name. You see, Nichette, there are certain things a woman can never wipe out of her life. If I wanted Armand to marry me, he'd marry me tomorrow. But I love him too much to ask of him such a sacrifice. You know, Nichette, there are times when I almost forget what I used to be. I can scarcely believe myself that I was ever that lady of the camellias who used to spend enough money on flowers alone to keep a decent family in comfort for a year. And now this little flower that Armand picked for me this morning is enough to perfume my whole life. Shall I tell you a secret, Nichette?
Do, Margaret.
Without saying a word to Armand, I've arranged to sell all the things in my Paris apartment. I shan't even return there. I'll pay up all my debts. I'll rent a tiny apartment near yours, furnish it very simply, and then we'll live there. And every summer we'll come back here to the country. Oh, happiness.
There's a gentleman who wishes to speak to you, madame.
Oh, that must be the lawyer I'm expecting. Wait for me in the garden, Nichette. I'll join you later. Ask him to come in, Nanine.
Mademoiselle Marguerite Gautier.
It is I, monsieur. To whom have I the honor of speaking?
To Monsieur Duval.
Monsieur Duval?
Yes, mademoiselle. To Armand's father.
Well, Armand's not here just now, monsieur.
I am aware of that. It is with you I wish to speak. Mademoiselle, my son is compromising and ruining himself for you.
You're mistaken, monsieur. Thank God people no longer speak of me, and I accept nothing from Armand.
Which can only mean, for your extravagance is well known, that my son is willing to dissipate with you the money that you accept from others.
Forgive me, monsieur, but I am a woman, and I am in my own house. Two reasons which should sufficiently appeal to your courtesy. The tone in which you're addressing me is not one which I would expect from a gentleman that I've only just met and...
And?
Well, I must beg you to allow me to withdraw, more for your sake than for mine.
It is indeed hard to believe that such manners are merely borrowed. I was warned that you're a very dangerous person.
Dangerous, perhaps, monsieur, to myself, not to others.
The truth still remains that Armand is ruining himself for you.
And I repeat to you, monsieur, with all the respect that I owe to Armand's father, that you are mistaken.
Then what is the meaning of this letter from my notary? This letter warning me that Armand wishes to turn all his money over to you.
Ah, I assure you, monsieur, if Armand's done this, he's done it without my knowledge. He knew quite well if he'd offered it to me, I should have refused.
This has not always been your habit.
That is quite true, monsieur. But then I didn't love.
And now?
Now I do love. With all the purity that one finds in one's heart when God takes pity and sends repentance.
The usual fine phrases, mademoiselle.
Listen to me, monsieur. I know that women like myself are rarely believed, but I swear to you by all that I hold dearest in the world, I swear to you that I knew nothing of this gift.
Still, mademoiselle, you have to live on something.
You forced me to tell you something that I'd so much rather not have told you, but as I care above everything for the good opinion of Armand's father, I must speak. Since I've known your son, and in order that my love for him should in no way resemble that which I once called love, I've pawned or sold my diamonds, jewels, carriages. Just now when you were announced, I thought I was about to receive a lawyer to whom I'm selling all that remains of that luxury with which you reproach me. If you still doubt me, read these papers. You know that I didn't expect you, that I was utterly unprepared.
This sale of your furniture, directing the buyer to pay your creditors and give you all the surplus. Could I have been mistaken?
You were mistaken, monsieur. Or rather, you've been deceived.
Oh, I know. I've been foolish. I've had a sad past. But now that I really love, I'd give the last drop of my blood to erase it. You'll see when you know me better. It's Armand who's transformed me. He has loved me. He does love me. Oh, monsieur, I beg of you, don't say anything to him against me. He'd believe you because he loves you, and I, too, I love you and respect you because you're his father.
I could not foresee all that I now discover in you. I ask your pardon, madame.
Thank you, monsieur.
And because I see now what you really are, I ask you to give Armand the greatest proof of love that you could give him.
Oh, monsieur, you're going to ask of me something terrible. All the more terrible because I've always foreseen it. You had to come. I was too happy.
You are capable of a generosity incomprehensible to many women. That is why, Marguerite, I speak to you like a father. A father who asks of you the happiness of his two children.
His two children?
I have a daughter, young and beautiful. She loves a young man, and she too has made this love the dream of her life. But she has a right to that love. My daughter is going to be married. She is marrying a respectable man, entering into a respectable family. They have learned of Armand's way of life. They threaten to forbid the marriage should Armand continue in this way. The future of a young girl who has done you no harm is in your hands. Marguerite, in the name of your own love, grant me the happiness of my daughter.
It's very kind of you, monsieur, to speak to me so gently. I see. I understand. I'll leave Armand for a little while. Oh, it'll be terribly painful for me, but I want to do it for you so that you'll have nothing to reproach me with. And besides, I'll forget the sorrow of our separation and the joy of my return. And you will allow him to write to me sometimes, won't you, monsieur? And then when his sister's married...
Thank you, Marguerite. But it is something else that I am asking of you.
Something else? What more can you ask of me?
A temporary separation is not sufficient.
You want me to leave Armand? Altogether?
You must.
Never, never, do you hear? Never. You don't understand how we love each other. Don't you know that I've nothing? I've no friends, no parents, no family, nothing, nothing. Armand's become everything to me. My life is irrevocably, but irrevocably bound up in his. And, Monsieur Duval, don't you know that I'm ill, that I've only a few years to live? Leave Armand. You might as well kill me at once.
I know I am asking an enormous sacrifice of you, but one which you would eventually be forced to make yourself.
Never, monsieur, never have I loved as I love now and never shall again.
What will remain of your love when you grow old? How can you be sure that the first line in your forehead will not tear the veil from his eyes, that his illusions will not vanish with your youth?
Ah, reality.
You have been happy for 3 months. Keep the memory of them in your heart. Let it make you strong. That is all you have the right to ask of it. Come, prove to me that you really love my son and have courage.
You're right, monsieur, you're right. All you've just said to me, I've said it to myself 100 times with terror. But as I was alone saying it to myself, I always managed not to hear myself to the end. Now you repeat it to me. It must be true. You speak to me in the name of your son, in the name of your daughter. It's to her that I want to sacrifice my happiness. Tell her one day that there was once a woman who had but one thought, one hope, one dream in this world. And that for her sake that woman gave up all of that, all of that. Crushed her heart between her hands and died of it. For I shall die of it, monsieur. And perhaps then God will forgive me.
Marguerite.
You're sorry for me, monsieur. Thank you. That will make me as strong as you wish me to be. You ask me to leave Armand. For the sake of his peace, his honor, his future. What do you want me to do? Tell me. I'm ready.
You must tell him that you no longer love him.
You wouldn't believe it.
You must go away.
He'd follow.
Then you must find a way.
Very well, monsieur. I swear to you that within a week your son will have returned to you. Unhappy, perhaps, but cured forever. I also swear that he'll never know what has just passed between us.
What will you do?
I'm going to send Prudence to Paris with a letter.
But I am afraid, Margaret.
Don't be afraid, monsieur. He will hate me.
What can I do for you in exchange for such a sacrifice?
Perhaps someday when I'm dead and Armand despises my memory, perhaps you'll tell him how much I loved him and how well I proved it. Goodbye, monsieur. We shall probably never see each other again. Be happy.
I've searched every café for you.
Oh, sit down, Gaston.
I brought you a letter.
Letter?
Prudence gave it to me. Told me that you must have it tonight.
Prudence? In Paris? But I left her with Marguerite.
The letter is from Marguerite. Here.
Something's happened. I felt all afternoon that something was wrong. My dear Armand, when you receive this letter, I shall have gone away.
I'm going back to my old life. And my old friends. For me, there can be no happiness without money. I know that now. So I'm going to de Verville, who will surround me with the luxury without which I cannot live. Do not try to follow me. It would be useless. Try to forget this Marguerite Gautier, whom you deign to love for a moment, and who owes you the only pure joy in a life that she hopes will soon be ended. Farewell.
Farewell. Dear God, no.
What is it?
Marguerite! She's gone.
In a moment, Act Two of Camille, starring Eva Le Gallien with Richard Waring. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of Camille, starring Eva Le Gallien with Richard Waring. Here again is John Chapman.
Let us go on with our second act, as Gaston Rieux continues his reminiscence.
Marguerite had indeed returned to her old life. She went to every supper, every ball. She drove along the boulevards in a brand new carriage. But Armand was never seen in public. No one knew where he had gone. Until one night, we all went to a party. Your lamp was given.
How much is there in the bag?
100 louis.
I'll pay 10 francs.
Where are they, Proudhon?
In my pocket.
I'd give 15 francs to see them.
Oh, I've forgotten my purse.
There's a purse that knows its business.
Oh.
Here's 20 francs for you.
I'll give them back to you.
Don't talk nonsense.
Wait, there's Armand Duval.
Armand? We thought you were in Tours.
You were wrong.
When did you arrive?
An hour ago.
And what's new, my dear boy?
Nothing, my dear Prudence.
Have you seen Marguerite?
No.
She's going to be here.
Then I shall see her.
Oh, what a tone you say that with.
And in what tone would you have me say it?
So the heart is mended.
Quite.
It's high time she left you. She's about to be dispossessed, stripped of everything.
And now her debts are all paid.
Entirely.
And the Baron de Varville is responsible.
He is indeed.
Then all is for the best.
Madame Marguerite
Gautier. Oh. Here they are.
Oh, good evening, Marguerite. Good evening, Baron.
How late you are.
We've been to the opera.
You're well, Marguerite?
Oh, yes, thank you, my dear Olaf. I'm very well.
Marguerite.
Prudence?
Armand is here.
Armand.
Laville, excuse me a moment.
Of course. Tell me, what was I here?
He's at the gaming table.
Shouldn't have come here.
You had to meet some time or other.
Did he speak to you?
Yes.
About me?
Naturally.
What did he say?
That All is for the best.
So much the better if it's true.
Marguerite! Duval is here.
I know it, Varil.
Will you swear to me that you didn't know he would be here?
I swear.
And you promise not to talk to him?
Ah, I don't feel well, Varil. Take me home.
No, Marguerite, you're not ill. You wish to leave because Duval is here. But I cannot afford to leave any place because he happens to be there. Let us remain.
What were they singing at the opera tonight?
La Favorite.
The story of a woman who deceives her lover.
Armand.
There are no women who deceive their lovers.
And I tell you there are such women.
Where?
Everywhere.
Careful, Armand.
Why, Gaston, I'm only testing the truth of the proverb, lucky at cards, unlucky at love. I expect to make my fortune here tonight. And as soon as I've made enough money, I'm going off to live in the country.
Alone?
No, Olympe. With someone who once went with me, but who left me. Perhaps when I am richer.
Monsieur Duval.
You challenge Monsieur Duval, you'll never see me again.
Well, Baron, have you nothing more to say to me?
Monsieur Duval, since you are so fortunate at cards, your good luck tempts me. I propose a game.
Which I accept. On which side do you play, Baron?
The side you do not take.
Let us go to the table.
Are you coming, Marguerite?
Not just now. I've a few words to say to Prudence.
I warn you, if you haven't joined us in 10 minutes, I will come back for you. Come, gentlemen, watch this ball.
Prudence.
Yes, Marguerite.
Go after them. As soon as the game's ended, ask Armand to come here. I must talk to him.
What if he refuses?
He won't refuse. He hates me too much to miss the opportunity of telling me so. Go, go, quickly.
Armand wins the game. You sent for me, madame.
Yes, Armand, I must speak to you.
You're going to try to justify yourself.
No, no, there's to be no question of that. In fact, I beg you not to speak of the past.
I understand, madame. It holds too much for you.
Don't hurt me, Armand. Try to listen to me without hatred, without rancor. Give me your hand.
Armand. Never, madame. That's all you wanted.
Who would have thought you'd ever refuse to take my hand? That's not the question. Armand, you must go away. Leave here at once.
Leave, madame, and why?
Because Varville's going to challenge you to a duel. I don't want anything to happen on my account.
So, you're advising me to run away. But what other kind of advice could a woman like you be capable of giving?
Armand, I swear to you that in this past month I've suffered so much I barely have the strength to say it. I'm quite well aware of the illness increasing in me, consuming me. In the name of a past love, in the name of all that I'm still going to have to suffer, Armand, in the name of your mother and of your sister, go away from me. Return to your father, and if you can, forget even my name.
I understand, madame. You are trembling for your lover who represents your fortune. I can ruin you with one thrust of my sword. That indeed would be a catastrophe.
You could be killed, Armand.
What does it matter to me whether I live or die? No, it's a fight to the death between the Baron and me, and I swear to you that I will kill him.
But you know that I don't love him, but I can't love that man.
Then why did you give yourself
don't
to him?
Don't ask that, Armand. I can't tell you.
I'll tell you why. You went to him because you were a creature without heart, without loyalty. Because your love belongs to whoever pays for it.
Yes, yes, you're right. I'm an infamous, miserable creature who never loved you, betrayed you. But just because of that, all the more reason for you to forget me completely, not to risk your life for me and the lives of those who love you, Armand. I implore you to go away, leave Paris, and don't look back.
I will, on one condition.
Whatever it is, I accept it.
That you will leave with me.
Never.
Never?
Oh, God, give me strength.
Listen, Marguerite. I thought for a moment that hate was driving me towards you. It was love, hideous, hateful love, for I despise myself for still feeling it. Only say that you still love me. I'll forgive you, Marguerite. We'll leave Paris, the past. We'll go to the ends of the earth if needs be, so we can be alone with our love.
I'd give my life. I'd give my life for 1 hour of the happiness you're offering me. But it's impossible. A chasm separates us. We may no longer love each other. Go, forget me. You must. I've sworn it.
To whom?
To one who had the right to ask it of me.
To Monsieur de Varville?
Yes!
To Monsieur de Varville, whom you love? Tell me that you love him and I'll go.
Very well, then. Yes, I love Monsieur de Varville.
Come in, all of you.
What are you doing?
What is it, Armand?
What's wrong?
You see this woman?
Marguerite.
Yes, Baron, Marguerite Gautier. You know what she did? She sold everything she possessed to live with me as long as she loved me. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Do you know what I did? I behaved like a wretch. I accepted that sacrifice without giving her anything in exchange.
Armand.
But it's not too late. I repent of it, and I'm here to offer reparation. Do you see this money? You are all witnesses. I pay this woman, and I owe her nothing! Nothing!
What have you done?
Marguerite! She's fainted.
Here's my glove in your face. Decidedly, monsieur. You are a coward.
Nanine. Nanine. May I have a glass of water?
Here you are.
Who's there?
It's I, Gaston.
Gaston, what are you doing here?
Drink first. I'll tell you afterward.
But where's Nanine?
Asleep. When I came in last night to find out how you were, Nanine was exhausted. Oh. I sent her to bed. How do you feel this morning?
Dear Gaston, why should you wear yourself out like this?
I stayed because I had something to say to you.
What do you want to tell me?
You're worried.
How do you mean, worried?
You need money. I haven't much. I've made a lot of unnecessary purchases for New Year's, and I wish you a very happy one. Mm-hmm. However, here's 25 louis that I'm going to put in this drawer. When they are gone, there will be more.
What a good heart you have. Would be you, good for nothing, as they always called you. Would be you, would be taking care of me now.
It's always like that.
Monsieur.
Oh, come in, come in. Marguerite is awake.
Oh, my poor Nanine, you were so tired. Oh,
just a little, madame.
Open the window and let in some sunshine, Nanina. I want to get up.
Madame, the doctor is here.
Ah, that dear doctor. You know, Gaston, his first visit's always for me. Tell him to come in, will you? Help me to get up, Nanine.
Oh, but madame,
yes,
I...
Yes, I want to.
Until later, then.
Till later, Gaston. Help me, Nanine, to the sofa.
Yes, madame.
Such a little distance to walk. Yet it seems so far.
Here we are.
Ah. Thank you, Nanine.
Madame.
Ah, oh, good morning, my dear doctor. Oh, Nanine, would you go and see if there's any mail?
Yes, madame.
Give me your hand. How do you feel?
Well, I feel badly and yet better. I feel ill in body, but so much better in spirit.
You're doing splendidly, madame. I promise you a complete recovery by spring.
It's your duty to talk to me like that, isn't it, doctor? You know, when God said that lying was a sin, he made an exception for all doctors. and he gave them permission to lie as many times a day as they saw patients.
Oh, look here, madame. Present.
Ah, of course. Today's the new year. Oh, how many things have happened since this time last year. This time last year, doctor, we were singing round the table. We were greeting the budding year with the same smile we'd given to the dying one. When shall we laugh again, my dear doctor?
I have a letter for you, too, madame.
Letter? Who could be writing to me? My dear Marguerite, I've been to see you 20 times, but was never allowed to come up. However, I don't want the happiest day of my life to pass without your knowing about it. Gustave... Nanine, it's from Nichette! It's Nichette. Gustave and I are getting married today. Oh, I hope you'll be present. A simple, humble ceremony will take place at 9 o'clock in the church of La Madeleine. I embrace you with all the strength of a happy heart. Nichette. Doctor, would you please close the window?
Yes, madame.
I feel a little cold. Owen, would you please give me that pen and paper? I want to write to Nichette.
Well, doctor?
She's very low.
Oh, Nanine, come here. Look at what I'm writing. Look, I'm writing... Madame Gustave Marchand. Is that wonderful, Nanine? Doctor, would you please do me a favor? Would you drop off this note on your way at the church where Nichette is getting married? And be sure to tell them not to give it to her until after the ceremony, because, you see, I wrote Madame Gustave. You won't forget, will you, Doctor?
No, Marguerite.
Come back later if you can. Oh, Nanine, would you tidy up the room? There's the bell. Better see who it is.
It's Madame Duvernoy who'd like to see you, madame.
Oh, Madame Duvernoy. Well, better ask her to come in, Nanine.
My dear Marguerite, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm much better, my dear Prudence.
Do send Nanine away. I want to talk to you.
Oh, Nanine, would you go and tidy up in the other room? I'll call you when I need you.
Yes, madame.
Marguerite, I have a favor to ask.
Go on.
How are you for money?
Well, you know, I've been a little short.
Today's the first of the year I have presents to make. I absolutely must have 200 francs. Can you lend them to me until the end of the month?
End of the month?
Oh, of course, if you can't
no,
spare
no, no,
them.
I shouldn't mean that.
Let's not speak of
no,
it again.
No, Prudence. Look, you see that drawer in my dressing table? Open it. How much is there?
500 francs.
Will you take the 200 you need?
And you'll have enough with what's left?
Yes, I'll have enough. Don't you worry about me.
Oh, you are doing me a real favor.
Well, so much the better, my dear Prudence.
And now I'll leave you. I'll come back to see you soon. You really look much better.
Oh, I am. I'm much better.
Thanks again.
Would you send Nanine back to me?
Nanine, she wants you.
Yes, madame. She came to ask you for money again. And you gave it to her?
Oh, Nanine, money. Such a little thing. She has such a very great need of it. But we need some too, don't we, my poor Nanine? Look, take this bracelet and this ring and go and sell them. Come back quickly.
But while I'm gone, what will Madame do?
I won't need anything. Besides, you won't be long. You know the way to the shop. You've been there often enough in the past 3 months.
I'll hurry, Madame.
My letter. Where's my precious letter? Must read you again. Know you by heart. Madame, I learned of the duel between Armand and Monsieur de Verville, not from my son, for he went away without even saying goodbye. Can you believe it, madame? I accused you of being the cause of that duel and of that departure. Now, thank God, Monsieur de Verville is out of danger, and I know everything. You have kept your word. Even beyond your strength, and all these shocks have undermined your health. I've written the whole truth to Armand. He is far away, but he will return to ask not only his own forgiveness, but mine, for I was forced to do you a wrong for which I wish to atone. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Hope. Your courage and your courage and your funny abnegation. Abnegation. Your courage and your abnegation deserve a better future. You shall have it, I promise you. In the meantime, please accept my sympathy, my esteem, and my devotion. Georges Duval, 15th of November. Oh, if only Armand would come soon. If I could only live until the spring. Oh, please. God, please.
Madame.
Oh, Nanine, it's you. I was lying here looking at myself in this mirror. Oh, how changed I am.
You do feel better today, madame?
Yes, I feel much better, Nanine.
Promise me that you'll be calm.
What is it?
I only want to prepare you.
What's happening?
Too sudden a joy is difficult to bear.
Joy?
Yes, madame.
Armand. You've seen Armand. Armand's coming to see me.
Marguerite.
Armand! Oh. It can't be you. It's impossible. God should be so good to me.
It is I, Marguerite. So repentant, so anxious. My father owed me everything. If I hadn't found you, I should have died, for I would have been the cause of your death. Marguerite, tell me that you forgive me.
Forgive you, my darling. It was all my fault. And you see, I didn't know what to do. I did so want you to be happy. Oh, your father won't separate us anymore, will he? He won't. He won't. You're not returning to your same pretty Marguerite. But you'll see. I'll grow lovely again. Now that I'm happy, now that I'm happy, we'll forget everything. We'll begin life all over again.
I'll never leave you again, Marguerite. My father knows what you are. He will love you as the good angel of his son. My sister is married. The future is ours.
Oh, speak to me, speak to me. I feel as if my soul were being reborn with every one of your words. You're breathing new life into me. You know, just this morning I said, one and only one thing could save me. But I didn't dare hope for it anymore. And now, here you are. And if life's passing me by, we'll stop it. We'll stop it on its way. Oh, Armand, I must tell you something so lovely. Nichette, you remember little Nichette. She's getting married to Gustave, Armand, just this morning, just here at the Madeleine. Oh, do let's go there, Armand. It'd do us so much good to go into a church and pray and look on somebody else's happiness. Oh, what a surprise God was keeping for me on this new year. Tell me again that you love me.
I love you, Marguerite. All my life belongs to you.
Nanine, get me everything I need to go out. We're going out. We're going to the Madeleine to see Nichette get married.
Dear Nanine, you've taken good care of her. Thank you.
Oh, she's been so good to me, Armand. She's been so good to me. You know, nobody else ever dared mention your name. She always said we'd see each other again. You were right, Nanine. You were right. You've seen beautiful places, my Armand. You'll take me there.
Marguerite.
It's nothing, my darling. It's nothing. It's just the joy can't come too suddenly into a despairing heart without straining it a little.
Marguerite, you're so white.
Don't be frightened, my darling. You know, I've always been subject to these ridiculous fainting spells. I'm well. I'm strong. It's just the surprise of being alive that somehow seems to weigh on me.
You're trembling.
No, it's nothing, my darling. Ah, here's Nanine with my cape. Put it on, Nanine. Put it on. You see, I'm up. I'm walking. I'm well. I can't.
Nanine, run, fix the doctor, quick.
Yes, tell him I must come back. Tell him I want to live. Tell him I must live. Well, but if your return hasn't saved me, then nothing will. Sooner or later, one has to die of what one's lived on. I've lived on love. Now I'm dying of it.
Marguerite, don't talk like that. You will live. You must.
Come sit close to me, my darling. A moment ago, I rebelled against death. I was wrong. Death is good. Death is right. And you know, Armand, if my death hadn't been quite certain, your father would have never have written to you and asked you to return.
Listen, Marguerite. Don't tell me you're going to die. Tell me that you don't believe it, that you don't wish it.
Well, even if I didn't wish it, my darling, I'd have to give in, wouldn't I? If God wills it so. And you see, Armand, if I'd always been what they call a good girl. If my life had been pure, oh, I might cry so terribly at the thought of leaving a world in which you were to remain, because then, you see, my darling, our life, our future would be full of brightness, and my past would give me what they call a right. A right to it. But dead your thoughts of me will be all beauty, alive that always be stains on our love. Believe me, my darling, God does know what he's doing.
Marguerite.
Oh, come now, must I be the one to tell you to have courage? Do something for me, Armand. Look, over there on my dressing table, there's a box there. You see it? And in it you'll find a locket. That's my portrait. I had it made for you in the days when I was pretty. You keep it. Help you to remember. But if one day you're loved by a pure young girl and you marry her, as it must be, as I wish it to be, and if she finds that
portrait, you tell her that that's the portrait of a woman who, if God will only allow her, prays every day in some obscure little corner of heaven for you and for her. And if she's jealous because we're so foolish, we women, and she wants you to give up that portrait, you do that without any fear, without any remorse, because it's right. Because I want you to. Do you hear me, Mama? You understand what I'm saying?
The doctor is on his way. Madame, here's Nichette.
Nichette! Ah, Nichette. You got my letter at the
Marguerite,
church.
Marguerite, you wrote me that you were dying, and I find you smiling.
I am dying, Nichette, but you see, I'm so happy. And my joy conceals my death. Ah, so you're married, Nichette. How strange this first life. What will the second be? Oh, you're married, Nichette. You're going to be happier than you've ever been before. You'll speak of me sometimes. Armand. Give me your hand.
Marguerite, what is it?
How strange it is. Why, I'm not suffering anymore. I feel as if all life were pouring into me. Oh, I feel so well. I never felt so well before. Armand, I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Ah, how well I feel.
Marguerite. She's dead. Marguerite! Marguerite!
Have just heard the Best Plays production of Camille by Alexander Dumas, starring Eva Le Gallienne as Marguerite, with Richard Waring as Armand. And here is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
Camille now is 101 years old, but it still is a living and touching romance. It will last as long as there are good actors and actresses. This evening we have had some of the best. So our thanks and congratulations to Miss Le Gallienne, Mr. Waring, and our Best Plays company. Next week, we shall do another romance, but a much lighter one and a modern one this time. The play will be Norman Krasner's comedy, John Loves Mary, with Nina Fush in her original role as Mary, and with Van Johnson as the affectionate John. This is Chapman saying goodbye until then.
Camille was adapted for radio by Vincent McConner. Heard in the cast were Edwin Jerome as Duval Père, Betty Gard as Prudence, Carl Weber as Gaston, Frederick Rolfe as Baron Duvarville, Marion Evanson as Nanine, Bryna Rayburn as Olympe, Jean Leonard as the Doctor, and Susan Douglas as Nichette. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Edward King. Your announcer is Fred Collins. Tonight, hear Radio City previews on NBC.